On the Fly with Jaymon G, roaming the grounds of Oshkosh, covering air venture A to Z. In Warbirds, in ultralights, down on the farm, at the museum and Pioneer Airport, at the seaplane base, over at the Vintage Red Barn, at the EAA Air Academy, at the Aviation Learning Center, at Lightsport. On the Fly is on the air. And now, your host, Jaymon G.
It is AirVenture 2009, and this is the second segment of On the Fly, and we're down here. It is a beautiful day. It's turned out to be a nice afternoon. It sprinkled a little bit. For those of us who are joining us here live, thanks for being here at AirVenture 2009 and down in the Vintage area. For those of you who are listening on EA Radio, AM 1210, 93.1. FM, 93.1 FM, and on the web at airventure.org. A little out of the venue, the Thunderbirds F-16 going by, but I'm joined here by H.G. Frauci, the Executive Director of Vintage here at EAA. Hello, H.G.
Hey, Jaymon, this is H.G. Frauci. I'm the Executive Director of the Vintage Aircraft Association and editor of Vintage Airplane Magazine, and that airplane's too new. We can't do anything with that airplane on this end of the field.
Yeah, I wouldn't even know what power plant to tell you that thing had.
It's made by Pratt & Whitney. It's a round engine, but it's not one of ours.
That's right. Anyway, we are looking at a very, very good year so far. And those of people who are listening online or on the air, of course, will hear this tomorrow at 12 noon. So the statistics will be different by then on Tuesday. But as of today, Monday, have you seen any of the stats? I saw some this morning that were pretty good.
I can't tell you the exact number of airplanes, but I can tell you that at this point, we have aircraft parked all the way down to row 147. That's only about 13 rows short of our maximum on the field. That goes well past what we call the Fond du Lac city limits on the south end of the airport, well south of the ultralight area. And that puts us on track for a better than average year, let's put it that way.
Yeah, that's what I was hearing this morning at the press briefing. And so far, it's been a very safe fly-in. Yep. And it looks like we're having a good day today, too. Hey, tell us what's going on in Vintage.
Well, Vintage has had a very big year. Last year, about this time, we were having some conversations with a few key donors and some really great folks who've been longtime Vintage members, including John Turgeon, Ron Tarson, the folks from Univair, the Dyer family, and EAA, about the possibility of really stepping up and creating a new facility here in the Vintage area that would host both the type clubs and the workshops. This is something that we have dreamed about doing for a number of years. In fact, Bob Lumley, one of our directors and who was the key organizer of this project, Bob had actually put down on paper back in the late 1980s and then again in the early 90s a concept for a Vintage hangar or an expanded headquarters. And what we were able to create, thanks to the generosity of those key donors we just talked about, was a fantastic 75 by 100-foot building. It's 26 feet tall, and it's large enough to host all the type clubs that we've had here in the past, plus a large workshop area that allows folks to come and experience metal shaping, both English wheel work and hammering and all of that really cool metalworking stuff. You can explore that right here firsthand, and all of it under one roof. It also allowed us to really revamp the area here at EAA for the Vintage Aircraft Association. So if you come here, or if you're here right now, you'll notice, first of all, that the ice cream stand is no longer in front of the Red Barn. It's now just located around the corner in a nicely shaded area, so you don't have to sit in the sun and eat your ice cream and get baked out and watch it run down your hand while you can't lick that fast. It's been moved around the corner, and by doing that, it opened up that pavement area where we're now allowed to get into it with an hour-long interview called Vintage in Review, very similar to what our friends up in Warbirds have done. Every morning at 11 o'clock in the morning, we'll be doing an interview with the airplane in place. This morning, we did the Clem L-25 with Roy Fox, and tomorrow and the rest of the week, we'll be doing an individual airplane and their owner right there. Most of those will be also related to Type Club airplanes that are displayed in conjunction with the Type Club inside the Type Club hangar or the Vintage Aircraft hangar. That hangar facility represents about 2,600 man hours of work put in by volunteers and the work done by MPP Builders from Ripon, Wisconsin. They were our general contractor who actually built the shell of the building. And then we finished out the interior. And when I say we, over 60 volunteers over the last 3 months have put in those 2,600 hours to create that building.
That's amazing. And I haven't even had time to walk through it, but I plan to get that tour done soon. I'm sure the Type Club people are very happy to have their new facility.
They're very excited. Yesterday was a great example. We had that little gust front blow through here and a little light shower. And very quickly, it became apparent why it's much better to be in a hangar than in a tent. There were no puddles on the floor. The ground is paved in concrete, of course. And when you first walk in the hangar, the first thing you'll notice is that it follows the style of many of those older buildings. And we did our best with modern materials that would last a long time to create a building that would evoke that era. In front, you'll find a single-handle gravity-fed fuel pump that our director, Dave Clark, managed to dig up one of those and has restored that. Also next to it is a 1947 Dodge pickup truck that was restored by Dan and Dick Knutson and a couple of our other directors, and they brought that up here just for our display. When you walk in the front door, on the left will be all the Type Clubs. They're set up in their tables as they have been in the past. We've created new signs to hang up above each one, so it's a little easier to find the location. And then to the far right of the hangar in the eastern or the northern third are all the workshops. Then along the backside, we've been able to consolidate some of the various outbuildings that we've had over the past couple of years with a vintage volunteer break room, a special office just for our computer operations folks who had been in an older white building that was parked back behind the thing. And there goes Elvis.
Yeah, I saw that.
The other spectacular thing was being able to create a meeting room that we can use for our board. We can use it for FAA meetings during the week. We're going to be hosting a couple of Type Club meetings with the FAA in that room. And it's just available for any group that needs a smaller meeting place that's right here, right next to the Red Barn. We've got it available for them.
That's great. We're seeing an Ericsson helicopter demonstration right through the vintage arches here.
I have to tell you, that aircraft is actually eligible to be parked in the Vintage Aircraft Association parking area because that's a sky crane, and they built all of those prior to 1970.
Did they really? Oh.
Yeah. I used to work for Sikorsky. I spent 8 years at Sikorsky, and every now and then we'd see one of those poke their nose in the hangar.
How did the Elvis name come to be?
I have no idea. I'm going to have to look that up on the web. I know we have a great web story on it. And also, just for folks who aren't able to be here and they're following along on the web and they're listening on our webcast, you can take a look at the Vintage Hangar project online. There is a slideshow and a video that I created over the last couple of months that'll show you all the different aspects of it. And we'll be adding to that pretty soon as well, now that we can show you pictures with folks actually in action there in the Type Club hangar.
So what else is going on down here, HG? It's really busy this year for Monday.
Well, this is also the year for some very unusual airplanes here in the vintage area.
And I know you've got us lined up to talk to some really interesting folks. And we already got to talk to Jack Tiffany and Andrew King about the Pitcairn Autogyro project.
Yep.
Jim Hammond involved with that also. And, and Nick. And then we talked to the Barnstormers, American Barnstormers Tour, quite a few of their airplanes, 8 or 9 are showing up for the week. And so it's really kind of rounding it out down here. And then there's some other stuff.
Yeah, we've got in the front yard here at the Vintage Aircraft Association Red Barn, we've got Tom Wathen's replica of the DH-88 Comet. We'll be talking to him in just a little bit. Also, it's kind of funny how things turn out. We got some great emails back and forth from a gentleman in Australia named Roy Fox, who had two very unusual airplanes, and he wanted to bring them to the convention, which isn't that unusual, except that he was bringing them from Australia. So there's a few logistics involved in getting those here. Yeah, and he has brought this Clem L-25, which is currently sitting in front of the vintage hangar in our vintage in review section. And then he also brought an airplane that I don't think has ever been here at EAA. It's a Comper Swift. A Comper Swift is a very small, light plane from Britain, single-place airplane. It is currently parked on the south side of Theater in the Woods. If you're familiar with the grounds, there's a little creek that runs between Theater in the Woods and the antique area, and this Comper Swift is parked right there in the middle, just south of Theater in the Woods, along with a Mach-E M5 replica. It's a fighter airplane from World War I. It's a biplane seaplane fighter, and this is I believe a two-thirds or three-quarter scale. I'm sorry, I can't remember which, exactly which, that was built by Jason Petrillo. And that aircraft is equally unusual. It's flown a couple times, and you've got to come take a look at that. He's got some descriptive stuff about it. So,
well, we've got some interesting stuff to talk about. We are going to take a break with H.G. Frouchy and Jay Monchi down here at the Vintage Red Barn on the fly. And we'll be back in just a few moments with, I think we're going to talk to Jim Moss.
That's
we'll
right.
be right back.